And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. Andy Klein here with you right now as getting to host today's show. And Clive Thomas, author Clive Thomas, has joined us next. Clive, thanks so much for coming in.
I appreciate the opportunity to be here, Andy.
And you have got a new book. Is it a new book?
Yes, it came out
just
in,
came out?
November. Yes.
Okay.
November.
How to Lobby Alaska State Government. I love it. Yeah. So, this is it. This is the secret. It's all in one book.
Right. I'm not sure it's a secret, but it's
So tell me a little bit about your background, about how you thought about why to do this.
And... Well, I taught at UAS for 30 years. I taught political science. I organized or put together the university's statewide internship program. And I studied and was involved in Alaska politics mainly from an observation perspective, though I did lobby for the faculty union for about 10 years. But I came to this when I was an undergraduate and a graduate. I'm from England originally, but I came to the United States to go to school in Washington, D.C., and I was an intern in Congress. And one summer I worked for the as an intern for the American Medical Association, the people who did the lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a philosophy that they had that I totally disagree with, but they were the best educators I ever came across. And I got fascinated by lobbying. And I began to teach classes in it. I taught in Iowa and Kansas before I came to Alaska and also in Northern California. And I got interested. I started to do some volunteer lobbying in Kansas for the Humane Society. I did it in Iowa for an environmental group. And in Northern California, I did some research and management for an organization was against aerial spraying, chemical spraying. And so that was my interest and my background.
Yeah.
When I came to Alaska, it took me a couple of years to find out where the bathrooms were in Alaska in terms of politics.
Right.
But I got interested in from around 1984, 1985, the university I organized with some other people. We offered every 2 years prior to the session, the new session, we provided a 2-day workshop on the legislative process. And a lot of that would be about lobbying. You know, people are going to lobby citizen lobbyists who are lobbying, say, for Humane Society or for, autistic children or something like that. And also people were starting out with organizations, school boards, associations, and so on. Some people may remember the late Carl Rose. He came to one of my first seminars in 1988 before he became the executive director. So anyhow, I got interested in it, and I would do these workshops. I've done many over the years, maybe 40 or 50 in Alaska. I'd done them for the Forest Service, for the National Park Service, for many organizations here, the School Boards Association, Municipal League. And after I would do these workshops, people would say, well, can I borrow your notes or, whatever, or, you should write a book about this. Well, I wanted to write a book, but I was taken up with teaching at the university,
right,
and
you were a little
doing
busy.
All the stuff you've got to do at the university to get tenure and so on. And
right.
I'll take the Fifth Amendment on what I thought of some of those things. But so anyway, I 4 years ago, took me 5 years. I published a very extensive book. I was an editor of a book on Alaska politics. It's 1,200 pages, and if you drop it on your foot, you'd have to go to the emergency room. So after I did that, I had put together in 2010 a little manual. The university had a part of the university system. They had a unit called Corporate Programs. And that provided short courses for people who didn't have a degree but wanted to get a certificate, type of middle-level managers. And they had courses on how to deal with difficult people, the basics of accounting. And they wanted a course on dealing with state government. So I put together this sort of guide manual. And I taught the course several times, and some other people taught it. And so during the course of me doing this Alaska politics book, then acquisitions editor for the University of Alaska Press, and this book's published by the University of Alaska Press as the book on policy was. they asked me if I would do this book, you know, turn it into a sort of a how-to book. And so I said I would, and it took me about 2.5 years, but I had a tremendous amount of information.
Mm-hmm.
I've interviewed well over 300 people over the years. I've been studying lobbying in 15 different countries, so I had a lot of background information.
So, and yeah.
I studied Alaska politics a lot, so I could meld the two together, you know, the lobbying and the Alaska politics part.
Is there a part of lobbying in Alaska that's different than lobbying in other places?
Not really, I don't think. I think one of the things you could say about Alaska is because, you know, Alaska is, as my good friend Denny DeWitt, the lobbyist, would say, it's the largest little village in the world. You know, everyone knows everyone else. So one of the things, say, for example, in California or big states like that, lobbyists tend to specialize in a certain area. They might specialize in lobbying for local government, or they might specialize in, see, you know, agribusiness. You know, in Alaska, lobbyists take on all sorts of clients. So we're talking now about what I would call contract lobbyists.
Right.
You know, there are different types of lobbyists.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that next question. When I think of lobbyists, I often think of the, you know, they're people that serve the longest terms in government, really. There's a lot of people here that kind of know more about and even control more about the issues that are brought up in government than even our legislative officials.
Yeah,
but then there's also citizen lobbyists.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
but just to finish off about, you know, states like California and New York, they have more specialized lobbying. And, of course, D.C. is completely different.
Sure.
I mean, they have people that highly specialize in things, you know. But anyway, back to the lobbyist thing. Yeah, people generally talk about lobbyists as though there is some sort of generic group of people. But in fact, you know, there are different types of lobbyists. Four types, really. The first type referred to as contract lobbyists. These are people that are hired by organizations, you know, local governments, businesses, or, you know, sometimes big nonprofits, and they lobby on a contract. And some of them have, you know, 6, 8, 10 clients. So there are people like Kent Dawson, Wendy Chamberlain, and many others. Many people's names probably wouldn't know, but people are starting out. And a lot of those people have worked in government. So what they're doing is they are a contract lobbyist is usually a very, very knowledgeable person. When you hire a contract lobbyist, you're hiring their knowledge of the system, the contacts they have, and so on.
They've often worked in a department.
Oh, yeah,
or
they are.
They've been legislative aides or legislators,
absolutely.
Things like that.
So that's those. And, you know, there are about maybe 300 of those registered in the state. Then the second type of lobbyists are what were called in-house lobbyists. These are people like, for example, Norm Wooten, who's the executive director of the Alaska Association of School Boards. They're people who work for an organization, and as part of all of their job, they do lobbying. But they only work for one client, or not client, they only work for one organization, which is their employer.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens too. You have people in businesses do this and so on who come down and lobby as part of their job. In fact, the University of Alaska and many other organizations have lobbyists, though they don't call themselves lobbyists because, you know, lobbyists is a dirty word, and it has been for generations.
They're legislative liaisons
they're government relations people or some euphemism like that.
Special assistants or something, yeah. Right.
But, you know, a rose by any other name would be a rose and a lobbyist by any other name. But they adamantly say they're not lobbyists. But if you're a person who represents an organization for the purpose of trying to get them to do something you want, in other words, influence them in some way, whether it's a Department of Economic Development, whether it's the University of Alaska, whether it's, you know, the local gardening club in Anchorage that, you know, wants something from the state, you're a lobbyist, you know, in that sense. But anyway, the third type of lobbyists are what we would call legislative liaisons. These are people who work for agencies or work for, you know, say the university. And then the fourth type, as you said, are citizen lobbyists, people who, you know, lobby for all sorts of causes. And usually those people are not paid. They just do it because they have a passion for it or whatever it might be.
And I think you would divide those into two groups, too. There could be people who are lobbyists because they're fishermen and they want to lobby because on behalf of their overall their overall profession, that kind of thing. And then there's people that say are lobbying because they think a stoplight should be put in at the corner of a road, and they want to.
Now, there's a very fine line between whether some of those people are lobbyists or are just representing an organization. And, you know, it's hard to define this, Andy, but basically you would say that a lobbyist is somebody who more or less on a regular basis works to try and lobby government. And, you know, some of these citizen lobbyists don't do that. They come down just once or twice or something. And so it will be hard to call them lobbyists.
Now, are there things about lobbying in Alaska that make it, in a way, better? I mean, I think that the fact that it's a small village type organization means that lobbyists may have quite a bit of influence here. I mean, you really will have a good chance of meeting legislators and those
kinds
of things.
You know, it's hard to say, make that distinction, I think. You know, certain organizations have always been influential in the state and probably always will be. But, you know, and of course there are some lobbyists that are, you know, better known than others, and they're probably better at it. And, you know, they're the people that can get big bucks for their clients.
Yeah,
and there are other ones that are just starting out that can't. But, you know, I wouldn't say there's that much difference, really.
When you're sort of and we should mention that this book, you get an opportunity to meet Clive. You're going to be signing the book. Tell us
yeah,
when you're going to be doing it.
Yeah, tomorrow downtown at the Hearthside Books in the wharf, you know, on the harbor, between 2 and 5:30. I'm going to be signing books. But don't confuse. The Hearthside is not out the road. It's not in the mall. It's the one downtown. By the harbor here. So,
yeah,
I'll be doing that from 2 to 5:30.
Okay.
And I hope people come by and, you know, buy a copy of the book. It's only $25.
Would you call this a little bit of one of those, you know, lobbying for dummies kind of a thing? Or is it more, you know, is that, were you really trying to do it step by step?
I think, Andy, it's kind of, I would call it a handbook.
Okay.
And one thing people should know, it's in no way, in any way, an academic book. Absolutely nothing to do with academics, okay? What it brings together is my knowledge, you know, for the last 35 years of studying this, talking to hundreds of people, observing it. You know, I ran the internship program for 25 years. I was down the legislature virtually every day during the session. So what it is really, it's a handbook. I'd call it a handbook. And what it tries to do is it tries to cover five types of possible readers. And generally speaking, it's for all Alaskans. But I will break it down into five categories. The first are people that have never lobbied before and they want to know how to lobby. A lot of people have very, very large or big misconceptions about lobbying. And so this tries to put, you know, in the first chapter, it goes into those and say, look, you know, if you have these misconceptions, you've got to rethink them. So there's the first group. The second group would be people who came down to lobby before and it didn't work out quite the way they planned. They either didn't know how to deal with public officials, they probably didn't know how to present information, or they just simply had a, you know, wrong, quote unquote, wrong attitude. The third group would be people from out of state, not necessarily individuals from, you know, Iowa or from Kansas, but companies that have interest in Alaska, oil industry, other companies, fishing industry, people who bring their, you know, their executives up or people like that to deal with the legislature, but don't know anything about Alaska politics. And this is a book that they could use or their employers. The fourth group would be professional lobbyists. And you say, well, how can you try to teach professional lobbyists, you know, in contract lobbyists or in-house lobbyists? Well, basically, a lot of those people bring down their clients or their members to Juneau during the session. It's called a fly-in. They fly in and they stay here for a couple of days and they go around with legislators. They talk to legislators and so on. And a lot of those people, you know, don't really know how to lobby. They may be, you know, a Safeway manager or an accountant or whatever. And it will be a good idea for those people to get a little bit of a feel for, you know, what lobbying is all about. Mm-hmm. So there are several chapters in that book will be useful for those people. You know, there's a chapter on how to understanding how to think politically. There's a chapter on the psychology of public officials, legislators, people in the governor's office, state agencies, and a lot of lobbying is done on state agencies, which a lot of people don't really understand or not familiar with. And you know, there's also chapter, you know, there's a chapter about face-to-face meetings with public officials and so on. So that's in the last group, I would say it would be useful for. And I was at the legislature yesterday handing out flyers. Legislators often have people come down to lobby for them. We don't really know what they're doing, and it's very difficult for the legislator to deal with them or, you know, whatever. And so if they find someone like that, say, look, you know, look at this book. This might be very useful to you. And they don't have to buy it. I mean, I'd like them to buy it. But, you know, there's a copy at the UAS Library, for example. I think there's two copies here in the city library, and I don't know about the state library. But, you know, I didn't write the book to make money out of it. I wrote it because I'd like people to read it and to find it to be useful to them.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to say we've just got a couple minutes left, but are there major mistakes that you think people make when they're lobbying? There are like a couple of like really big ones that make.
Yeah,
so what are they? What are some of the ones that you would say?
Well, it depends on the individual, but I there are many of them, but I'll just point out three. I think one of them is that somehow or another, you know, you've got to understand where legislators are coming from. You know, they don't work for you. They don't have to, you know, do what you say they should do. And you've got to understand where they're coming from. You've got to put yourself in their shoes. So I think that's important because otherwise, if, you know, it takes years or at least months to make a friend, but you can make an enemy in 15 seconds.
That's
and just before I go to the second point. One of the things I try to explain about in this book is a lot of lobbying is understanding what to do, but a lot of it is understanding not what to do, not to alienate people. Okay, the second thing I think would be this. People want a legislator or a staffer to know about something, so they come down with volumes of materials, you know, and they say, you know, read this. They're not going to read it. What people need to do is to put on one page what they want. And most legislators are interested in five things. What do you want? Why do you want it? How much is it going to cost? How is it going to affect me or my constituents? And what do you propose as the solution? And you can put that on a page and explain that, and someone will look at that, and three things will happen from that. One, it's easy to read. Secondly, they'll understand that you understand their problems in terms of how busy they are. And thirdly, it'll help them to think that through and say, well, I need more information on this point. So that's understanding where those people are coming from. So I say that's the second. The third mistake I would say that people often make is they just don't – and if they're not very knowledgeable, they come down here in this session and they want to start, you know, something. You've got to put your plan together long before that. And the interim, you know, the 8 months when people are not in the, you know, not down here, they have more time and so on. And one of the things that people don't understand is about 70% of lobbying is not a lot contact with public officials, you know, legislators, commissioners. It's actually organizing and planning. That's what it's about. And that's what I tried to say in that book.
Yeah. Well, it sounds fascinating. Thank you so much for coming in and telling us about it. Once again, you're going to be
I'm going to be doing a book signing tomorrow at Hearthside Books in the Wharf, the new Hearthside Books in the Wharf.
Yeah.
And most people know it moved from Front Street.
In the big blue building.
I'll be there from 2 to 5:30, and I hope people will come along. And I appreciate the chance to be here.
Sure. It's Clive Thomas. And once again, it's How to Lobby Alaska State Government, something that many of us, if not most of us in Juneau, at one time or another, we've gotten involved in wanting to figure out how to do that. And a great resource that you've put together for folks.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah.
Okay.